Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Peter, stop! We'll get the guys to help with the search and then we'll divide up, all right? We'll have Andrew take the north, Bartholomew will take the bottom.
Peter, stop! Look, I'm just as confused about this as you are.
Someone stole him. That's the only logical explanation, John.
Wait, okay? Look, what we witnessed today...
The guards, they took him. We have to move swiftly. We have to rebury the body properly.
Look, Peter, stop! Okay, we need to go tell the others.
Tell them what?
What we saw.
We saw nothing.
Exactly.
John, do you not understand that they are trying to stop us? That's why Jesus kept waking us up to pray. That's why they got to Judas. That's why they arrested Jesus. Just the other day, I was looking at him. I was looking him in the eye and I told him that I loved him and that I would follow him to the ends of the earth. He was supposed to be our king.
He is the king. When we were in the tomb, I remember something Jesus said.
The linens were just lying there. They were just lying there.
No, no. Think bigger. Look, all of this, all of it was supposed to be preparing us for this moment, for that empty tomb. We just couldn't see it.
Couldn't see what?
Okay. When Mary came back and said that the tomb was empty and that the angel of the Lord was there, that's when it started to come back.
John, enough. We can reminisce about this later. Jesus is missing. We have to go find him.
He's not missing. That's the point. Look, he was trying to tell us about this. Jesus was preparing us for this. He's risen. Peter, he's a different kind of king, and he always was. Peter, do you remember that night Jesus asked us who we thought he was?
When he called me Satan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I called him...
Lord.
Lord.
Lord of all, Peter. We just didn't understand.
But he's gone.
No. He's risen.
He did it.
Peter, he's risen.
He's risen. He did it.
Do you hear that, world? He's risen.
In November 1879, Thomas Edison filed the patent for the very first light bulb. And ever since his invention, now just with the flick of a switch, a dark room can become light. You can start to see. You can start to get your bearings. Light bulbs moments. What we just saw depicted in that little video, I think, was Peter having a light bulb moment. I mean, think about that. He'd been in the dark. I mean, yeah, sure, he'd been with Jesus, but really, he'd been in the dark with everything that had happened to Jesus. And what we just saw, what was him processing with his friend, fellow disciple, John, what for him must have been a light bulb moment. I think it was probably kind of flickering a little bit as he's sitting there talking with John. Wait a minute, what now? You're saying what? What? And as he's processing and as he's talking with John, the light bulb begins to come on. Kids, draw me a picture this morning. What do you think it looked like? I mean, yeah, we saw it on the video here, but what do you think it looked like when Peter was at that empty tomb that Jesus had been put in 3 days earlier? And now he's looking in the tomb. The body of Jesus is not there. There's just some wrappings that are there. The cloth that was around Jesus' head was folded neatly in the place where he had been laying. What do you think it looked like? Draw me a picture this morning of that scene. Draw me a picture of what you think Peter's face looked like as he's looking in the tomb and going, wow, he's not here. And when you're finished this morning, put it out on my board. I want to see what you think that morning looked like. You know, when I think about light bulb moments, what comes back to my mind for me is when I proposed to Allison. Man, I mean, there were a couple of light bulbs that were going off that evening. I had it all planned out. The weekend, we were going to be going down to Waco. We're going to be hanging out with my parents for a few days. And so we get off work here and head down to Waco. And before we went out and met up with Mom and Dad at their house, we went to dinner with my best friend Mark and his wife Angie, and that, you know, that's a great idea in theory, but if you're going to propose and you know that's coming, you kind of have to force feed yourself. And so, you know, because I've got a pretty big appetite, but I'm like going, oh man, I've got like this big enchilada plate here, and I've got to like, I can't let her suspect anything. And so I'm like saying, this is so good. And on the inside, I'm like going, oh my gosh, when will this end? I've got to get on to the ring. And so we finish up there. I think we got through. She wasn't suspecting anything. And I made up this excuse that we needed to stop by Baylor University before we went out to Mom and Dad's. We always were stopping by Baylor for something. And so we pull up to the parking lot. We walk up to Russell Dormitory, okay? And right out in front of Russell Dormitory, there's this bench. And so we come out, and we sit down on this bench, and I'm sitting there with her, and I said, you see those steps right there in front of us? I said, my dad kissed my mom the very first time on those steps right there. And then I got down on one knee. And in that moment, you know what was happening? Light bulb. The light bulb was going on for her. She's like, oh my goodness, like it's really happening. And so I pulled the ring out and I asked her to marry me. I proposed to her right there. She put it on and she said yes. And that was a glorious answer. It was the right answer. And we hugged and we kissed and we sat back on that bench. And then I just said, man, I just want us to pray as we kind of start this part of our life together. And she said, that sounds great. If you ask her, I was the one praying. She was doing this. So I hope that it took. I think it did. But man, she's sitting there going, this is really happening. I'm engaged. We're going to get married. And I mean, the light bulb was going on. And it was great. We were like, oh man, let's go. My mom and dad are at the house. They're waiting for us. And so she gets out her cell phone as we're driving back. And guess who she's calling? Her. She's calling her mom. And mom's not picking up. And she's like, oh my goodness, what? I mean, this is like the most important thing that's ever happened to me. And I can't get them. And they're not answering. But and then she just kind of does this for a while. And then she tries to call again, and we're driving out, and we pull into to Mom and Dad's place, and we walk inside. When we walked inside, she heard her mom's voice. And when that happened, guess what happened again? Bing, light bulb, my mom, there she is. We walked around the corner, and her family was there, and my family was there, and we just had a great, great, great celebration. Light bulb moments were happening throughout that night, that proposal. It was great. It was great. I want you to take a second. I want you to think about a time in your life Has there been a time in your life when maybe you've kind of been in the dark a little bit, but then all of a sudden, boom, the light bulb went on for you? You just had a light bulb moment. Think about it. Where were you? What were your circumstances? What happened? I mean, was it a clarifying moment of good news or not so good news? Think about that time. Surely you've had a moment where you've kind of felt in the dark, and then all of a sudden something happened and the light bulb came on. Maybe what goes through your mind is a light bulb moment when a job offer came for you. Maybe you were in the middle of a dead-end job, or maybe you were just in a stretch of unemployment, and your life was feeling kind of in the dark, and then all of a sudden, man, you got that job offer, and the light bulb began to come on. It's like, this is going to move us out of this situation, out of this into that, and the light bulb just went off for you, and you could begin to see for your family and for your future a path that you were going to take. Maybe that light bulb for you was when you were a kid, and you were sitting there, and I mean, mom or dad or big brother or whatever has taught you time and time again, okay, you take the two laces and you cross them and you go under the bridge and then you make bunny rabbit ears and around the corner and bam, and that's all you do. And you've been sitting there watching, and maybe you watched YouTube video after YouTube video, and you couldn't hack it. And the ear always came through the hole, and you had one string out here and one like, but then one day you got it, and then you got it again. And it was just like, bing, the light bulb just went on for you. And you can tie your shoes in the dark now. You can close your eyes and tie your shoes. You've done it so many times because the light bulb moment happened for you. Maybe the light bulb moment for you came in the form of a diagnosis, and all of a sudden, in a moment, you began to understand with real clarity why you've been feeling the way that you've been feeling for so long, and now you've got a path toward healing and wholeness. And the light bulb went off for you. Maybe your light bulb moment happened at school. Maybe it happened on the phone. Maybe it was at work, or you were driving in your car and you were thinking about a series of conversations that you've had, texts that you had been receiving, emails that you'd been reading. And as you're driving, all those things kind of came together for you. And behind the steering wheel, bing, light bulb moment. And you began to move from a place of darkness, fogginess, chaos, and into a room with a light on it, a clarity you could see. I mean, let me give you one more. Maybe your light bulb moment was when you were sitting in a dark room, and then you heard an unmistakable voice say those astonishing words that you will never forget.
Luke, I am your father.
And the light bulb went on, and maybe like Luke, you were going, no, no, that's impossible. But over time, the light bulb really did come on. And you've been seeing things more clearly, not just in Star Wars, but in your own life. I mean, maybe when it comes to God, Jesus, you know, the Bible, there have just been a few moments where things made a lot of sense. It was clear to you. You could see clearly. And then other times in your life, you're just wondering, where'd the light go? God, what in the world is going on in my life? What in the world are you doing? Why is all this stuff happening to me? What does this mean for my life? God, are you even real? I mean, do you even care? I mean, if you're my good, good father who's in heaven, how could you let this happen to me? How could you let me be in this place? I feel like I'm in the dark and I don't understand. I can't see things clearly. My life feels chaotic. It feels very unclear. Would you please shed a little light on my life, please? Have you ever felt like that? I felt like that before. And man, if you've ever felt like that, like you were in the dark with God, pretty confused, I believe we're in good company because I think that's how the disciples were feeling 2,000 years ago on that weekend in Jerusalem. I think they were feeling in the dark. And as Easter Sunday got here, that first Easter Sunday morning, they were in the dark, but as the day wore on, the light bulbs began to come on. And if you've ever felt in the dark with God, you are in good company on the beginning of this Easter Sunday morning. And I think we've got more in common with Peter than you and I may really even realize. Let's read what happened on that first Easter Sunday morning from the Gospel of Luke. If you have your Bible, why don't you open it up to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. If you're using the Bible in the row in front of you, it's going to be on page 884. Page 884 in the Bible on the row in front of you there. If you don't have a Bible, when we're finished this morning, if you'll come see me in the Home Life Center, I'll give you a brand new one. We just want everybody to have a copy of the Bible so that you can read God's Word for yourself. So Luke chapter 24, we'll just look at the first 12 verses this morning. And here's what it says on Luke 24, beginning with verse 1. The women were at the tomb ready to anoint Jesus' body and prepare his body for a long, quiet death that he was going to be enjoying in that tomb, or so they thought. But let's see what happens to these women that come back to the tomb. It says, but on the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. They're angels. Stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, great question, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man refers to Jesus, the Messiah, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise? Look at verse 8. And they remembered his words. They remembered Jesus' words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. Look at verse 12. But Peter rose, and he ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. It's the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, I've been in ministry a long time, over 2 decades. I've been in church my whole life. Man, I've read this story. I have studied this story. I've preached the Easter story 100 times. But I've never really thought about Peter feeling so frustrated, at least like he was portrayed in that scene in the video that we saw a minute ago. Didn't he seem frustrated to you? I mean, at least at the beginning, man, he did to me. I don't know about you, but I guess I always just thought Peter was being one who was wowed and amazed that the tomb's empty. Of course, Jesus has risen. And eventually, he got there. when the light bulb came on. But when he first went to the tomb, man, I think he was still in the dark. I think he was still foggy. And yet, as I studied that Easter story again, I noticed something that I hadn't seen before. And I think before Peter had his light bulb moment, I think he was really in the dark. Let me show you why I think that about Peter. Look again at that last verse that we just read a second ago. Verse 12. Verse 12 describes Peter and what he did. Look at it again with me. It says, "But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home." What's that word? Marveling. Underline that word. Circle that word. Write that word down. He went home marveling at what had happened. Now, the word for marveling is an interesting word. In the original language, the word is thaumazon. That's kind of a mouthful. Thaumazon. Thaumazon can also be translated wondering. Wondering what happened. This word thaumazon, if you look at other places, particularly in Luke's gospel, when thaumazon is used, when Luke writes that word thaumazon, it's usually in a situation where the people are just left to wonder about things that are really hard to understand. Thaumazon. Why don't you say that with me on three? One, two, three. Thaumazon. Why don't you put your hands on your head like this when you say it? One, two, three. Thaumazon. Thaumazon. I experienced thaumazon every day of my life in ninth grade algebra. What? You're introducing letters? This is math. I've already been to English. What's up? Thaumazon. And I left every day wondering, not marveling. Oh, this is wonderful. I left every day going, what in the fat? Oh my goodness. Thaumazon. Interesting, interesting word. The light bulb's still not on when it comes to algebra and me. Let me show you some of the scenes in Luke's gospel where thaumazon is used. And think not marvel, think wonder. Head scratcher. How does this all fit together again? I'm feeling pretty foggy. I feel like I'm in the dark. Somebody turn on the light, please. You go, where does it say that? Well, right after Jesus was born to Joseph and Mary, Joseph and Mary then took Jesus to the temple to be presented for dedication. A man named Simeon was there. And Simeon spoke words of prophecy and blessing over Jesus and what his life would entail. Luke chapter 2, verse 33 says this, "And his father and mother marveled, thaumazon, at what was said about him." What did he just say about her? That does not make sense. When Jesus was a grown man, he was on the Sea of Galilee. He's in a boat. A storm rises while they're on the sea with his disciples. Jesus is asleep in the bow of the boat, and the disciples wake him up and say, "Lord, we're drowning. Do something." Jesus rebukes the wind, rebukes the waves, rebukes the storm, and glass, calm. And then Luke records the next part of the scene in Luke chapter 8, verse 25. Jesus said to them, "Guys, where is your faith?" And it says, they were afraid. And they marveled. Thaumazon. Saying to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even winds and water, and they obey him?" I think Jesus would have been great at algebra. How about Luke 11, 41? Now Jesus was casting out a demon that was mute. And when the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people, what? Marveled. Thalmazon wondered, oh my goodness. See, just these three examples and others all indicate that those who were experiencing these out of the ordinary situations responded with a deep sense of wonder as they're trying to gain clarity around what had just happened. And I believe it is very plausible that there still was a sense of fogginess in the disciples' perspective. And yes, something amazing had just happened that involved Jesus. However, that light bulb had not yet come on for all of them. They hadn't yet had their light bulb moment. And I think this is how Peter was feeling. It was how Peter was feeling. How can I say that? Because that's what God's Word says. And you can always trust what God's Word says. If it's in there, it's true. And Luke says that Peter was responding to what he saw or didn't see. Nobody in here. Set some rags that had been folded up. Tomb is empty. And Peter has a sense of thaumazon, wondering, marveling, and trying to see clearly in a dark state of confusion. I mean, let's just crawl inside Peter's head for a moment and think about the thoughts that may have been swimming inside his darkness, inside his mind of confusion. I wonder if he's going, hey, the tomb was empty except for these grave clothes, this wrap that's folded neatly that was surrounding Jesus' head. And he's going, somebody stole the body. Why would a grave robber unwind him and then steal him? He'd be much easier to steal if he was like this than like this. Plus, those wraps are, man, those are worth something. And the spices inside, man, I can go sell that. This doesn't make any sense. Who would have done this? Who would have taken him? And Peter just had a range of thoughts running through his head. And the resurrection was not on his mind. You go, how can you say that? Of course it was. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. Wasn't on any of their minds. You go, why would you say that? Because in their mind, in a first century Jewish person's mind, the resurrection was the grand finale. It was a sweeping grand finale at the conclusion, at the end of the age. That's when it's going to happen. Not today. It's not going to happen to, like on this day. It's going to happen on that day. And that day is going to be glorious, but this day is just like any other day. It's not going to happen on this day. And so Peter continued to wonder. Thalmazon. Still as if he was in a dark room, unable to see things clearly yet. He's still wondering. Let me ask you a question today. What are you wondering about right now? Maybe not in this very moment, but what are you wondering about in this season of your life? I mean, what are you wondering about that you're just kind of going, man, I can't see clearly. I mean, is there something going on in your life where you're experiencing thaumazon like Peter was on that first Easter? I mean, are you in the middle right now of processing the pieces of your life, trying to make some order out of chaos? And yet the room is still dark that you find yourself in today. Are you still wondering about what to do regarding the next step with your family? Are you wondering whether or not you should put your house on the market right now or just wait a little while, stay where you're at, see what happens? I mean, are you wondering about college applications and job applications, how to handle that tax situation that's coming up in a few weeks, and you're like, oh, God. please help me because I'm feeling in the dark right now. I mean, if you find yourself in a season today where you feel like you're wandering in a dark room and you can't see clearly, know that you're in really good company with Peter, one of the right-hand men in Jesus' group. His light bulb had not yet happened. It hadn't come on yet, but it was on the horizon. And if you need some hope today, I believe your light bulb moment is on the horizon. Don't give up yet. Just keep moving forward and praying and going, God, would you show me your way? And I believe God is going to make things clearer for you in his time. In the video, we saw Peter processing his wanderings with his fellow friend, his fellow disciple, John. John obviously had his light bulb moment from how he was responding as the video unfolded with Peter, helping Peter to process as they're on their way from the tomb back to their home. However, we didn't see Peter running with anybody in Luke's account, but you do see somebody running with Peter in John's account. Why don't you turn to the right just a few pages, John chapter 20. Let's look at it from John's perspective. John's account, we see that Peter's not the only one who ran to the tomb. And look what it says from John's account. John chapter 20, verses 3 through 10. It talks about this other disciple with Peter. Now, he's not named, but scholars believe, and I'm not a scholar, but I believe as well, that this was John who was running with Peter. John chapter 20, verse 3. Says this, so Peter went out with the other disciple, I think it was John, with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He was a sprinter. Verse 5, and stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he didn't go in. He was a fraidy cat. He didn't go in. And then, verse 6, Simon Peter came following him, and he went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but it was folded up in a place by itself. And then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. Look at verse 9. For as yet, they didn't understand the what? The scripture, that's talking about the Old Testament. They didn't understand the scripture that he, the Messiah, Jesus, must rise from the dead. And then the disciples went back to their home. Now, we don't know the very exact moment that Peter or John had their light bulb moment. But we do see a flicker. We see a flicker of light for John based on what he wrote in verse 8, along with the light bulb that would be burning bright for both of them that's written in verse 9. Look again at verses 8 and 9. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in and, say that next phrase with me, he saw and believed. Underline that. He saw and believed. Verse 9, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Now, I believe that when it says John saw and believed, I think that was John's light bulb moment. I think that was his light bulb moment. I think right then when he saw him, he started putting the pieces together. He started remembering some things. What did he remember? I think he started remembering what Jesus had told them while they were all with him. It says there that they didn't understand the scripture yet. that Jesus must rise from the dead. But I'm telling you, I think the light bulbs were starting to flicker. I think they were starting to come on for John. Because when it talks about understanding the scripture, it's talking about the Old Testament scriptures that referenced what would take place when the Messiah would appear, when he would come, and what would happen to him that would lead to Easter. You go, where does it talk about that? It's all throughout the Old Testament. Just a couple of examples. Psalm 16, verse 10 says, "For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, to the grave. Or let your Holy One see corruption." I think an Old Testament scripture like that began to be a light bulb moment. They're like, I memorized that. I know that. Or Psalm 118, verses 22 to 24. "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." He is not here. Light bulb's coming on. This is the day. This is the day. And I think the light bulbs are starting to come on. I think the light bulb from the prophet Isaiah was just beaming bright. I think they installed LED lights in there and they were really bright when they start thinking about this Old Testament scripture from Isaiah 53 verses 11 and 12, which says, "Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many," that's us, "to be accounted righteous. And he shall bear their iniquities." Good Friday, bad Friday. If it's happening to you, not good, bad. "Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong." Does this not sound like what Jesus did? Because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, one on his right, one on his left. "Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors." And I think they're going, hello, light bulb moment. Light bulb moments happening all over the place. All those Old Testament scriptures soon would be light bulb moments that would help John and Peter and all the other disciples and followers of Jesus to see clearly what was taking place on that Easter Sunday. It's what Luke referenced that we read a few moments ago, earlier, when the women, when they're at the empty tomb, they saw that the stone had been rolled away. Two angels are there. They're asking a very important question. Look at it on the screen. "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but he is risen. Remember how he told you?" Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day arise? And what does verse 8 say? "And they remembered his words." They're going, oh yeah, that was their light bulb moment. Yeah. Remember when Jesus said the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised? Jesus said that in Luke 9:22, and the light bulb comes on for those women. Jesus says in Luke 9:44, Let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men. Light bulb. They're remembering. And taking the 12, he said to them, "See, we're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that's written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, he'll be mocked, he'll be shamefully treated, he'll be spit upon, and after flogging him, they'll kill him." And, don't you love "and"? And, what a great word. And, just say that with me on three, one, two, three. And, if you buy today, and, if you call now, you get all this, and, on the third day, he'll rise. On the third day, he'll rise. And the light bulb went on. Look at that last sentence there in Luke 18:34. But they understood none of these things when he said it the first time. They're getting it now. But when he said it originally, he didn't understand these things. And maybe you look at that and you go, "That describes me." That describes me. Man, I feel like I'm in a room in my life where I'm just in the dark. It's chaotic. It's unclear. I can't see. My life just seems foggy. Especially when you're talking about all this God stuff, man. I just came because my family invited me, and I'm going to get something really good to eat. But all this stuff, none of this seems clear. When you start talking God stuff, man, I'm still walking around in the dark. But if we kept talking, maybe you would be so honest to go, "And this Easter, I would love nothing more than to experience a light bulb moment with Jesus." Like those first followers and disciples began to experience. And as I read the Bible and read the Bible and study the accounts of the resurrection on that Easter Sunday morning, part of the way that the light bulbs started coming on is as they began to remember what Jesus had said. And maybe you've just been in a season where you've been trying to track what everybody else has been saying, whatever those other voices may be, whether they're employment voices or school voices or coaching voices or political voices or family voices. And this morning, God brought you here, and Jesus said, "I just want to remind you of some things that I've said." I just started going back through the scriptures, looking at some things that Jesus has said that I've remembered at different points in my life when the room was dark and they began to be light bulb moments for me. Let me just give you a few. You might just want to jot the addresses down and look at these throughout the week. Remember, Jesus said in John 14, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." Remember what Jesus says in Matthew 28, verse 18. "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me." He said that after the cross and resurrection, by the way. So he knew what he was talking about. He wasn't just bragging. He was backing it up. How about Matthew 28, verse 20? "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Maybe you feel alone in your darkness. And Jesus says, no. You need to remember, I'm with you always. I'm with you always. Maybe you need to remember John 14:6, when Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Maybe you need to remember John 3:16 and 17. I said the first part of it earlier, but let me tell you the whole thing that he said. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but nor that the world might be saved through him. He doesn't condemn you. He wants to save you. Remember what Jesus said in John 8:7. Let him who's without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. Matthew 19:21. If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Jesus says this in Mark 8:36. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Quit working so much, Dad. Quit working so much, Mom. Keep going to work, but it's not going to profit your soul. Matthew 6:34. Therefore, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Are you worried? Jesus says, hey, man, don't worry. I'm with you. We're going to walk through this. John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I've loved you. You also are to love one another. How about Matthew 7:7-8? It's so great. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. So the one who knocks, it will be opened. Finally, this last one. Do you need to remember this? From John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Man, I do. I believe in that. And the more I remember, the more the light begins to come on. And as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, may this Easter be the beginning of the light bulb coming on in your life. Because it is Jesus who defeated sin, death, Satan, and hell when he rose from the grave. And that power and that authority and that promise that he gave for salvation and empowerment by his Holy Spirit all the days of our life, that gives us light in our darkness. And that is why we celebrate his life today. And that is why whatever comes our way tomorrow, we can face it, because Jesus lives. He is risen. He is risen indeed.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.